This is the driver's seat for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
This is the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. Now, the biggest news of 2022 had to be Walkinshaw and Dreddy United making the announcement that they will be switching to Ford. After 3 decades of association with Holden, they will not be going with the Camaro in 2023 and will be in Ford Mustangs for Gen 3. Ryan Walkinshaw spoke to Greg Murphy on Race Control. Murph, of course, one of the more decorated drivers for WAU back in their Holden Racing Team days. And he spoke to him about the decision to make the move in our feature interview, thanks to Ryko Filters, the professional's choice.
Ryan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. A little bit jet-lagged, but can't complain.
Yeah, interesting old week for you. I've been looking at your Instagram page and the responses to the open letter you put out there, understanding that there are going to be a lot of upset fans. The one word that comes to mind, Ryan, is passion. Let me just read you one, because there's a lot of positives out there for your team as well. This individual goes, "I've never had my heart broken, but I got a feeling this is what it feels like. Thanks for the memories for the last 30 years, but I can't follow you guys to a car manufacturer that I've hated since the day I was born. Holden is in my blood. Although they are no more, it will always be in my blood. Hopefully we can win Bathurst this year in the championship so we can end the Holden era as the best Holden team ever." It says a lot about the passion, doesn't it?
It does, but you wouldn't really have it any other way, right? Because if it wasn't for that passion, we wouldn't have such a fantastic sport and such a successful sport. And, we've got the best fans in the category, and I've always maintained that we've always had that. We knew there was going to be some backlash. Obviously, there's going to be some backlash, particularly with the team that we're going, well, the manufacturer that we're going to. But I think the biggest surprise that we had was actually the amount of positivity that we got out of it, because we expected the worst and planned for the worst. But the vast majority of our fans, even if they didn't like the decision, they understood it, which is important, understanding why we had to make the change. The amount of people that said they were going to follow us and they were coming along to and they were fans of the team and not just fans of the manufacturer was really quite surprising and encouraging. We reckon there was only really about 10-15% of the comments that were genuinely angry and upset. But even a lot of those, we've already been keeping a track of a lot of people, and their responses and their attitudes have changed over the last few days. Now the dust has settled. So, most of our fans follow us because of the team that we are, the drivers that we have, the values that we have, how we go about running our business and our race team. We're pretty confident that the vast majority will continue to support us.
So, hey, mate, did you go and, before the announcement and the build-up and obviously doing deals and contracts and bits and pieces, did you do any sort of research, anyone do any external research about that whole part of that process and the fan expectation or how you expected they might react to any of that? Was there a lot of effort put in prior to actually going down the path of putting the deal in place?
Yeah, there was, and I won't go into any detail on that, but yes, we did a fair bit of due diligence in trying to understand our demographics. We work quite heavily with various different media companies to understand what our fan base, who they are, and trying to understand how they think, and particularly as a tool to be able to add value to our partners and our sponsors. We invest heavily in that area, and a lot of sporting teams do. In fact, most sporting teams do in various degrees. So yeah, we've got a pretty strong understanding of our core fan base, and even little interesting things came out of that. For example, that we're the team in supercars that are most followed by females in the category, and we're the second highest followed team for under 30s, for example. So, and these things come into play as well in this discussion, because when you look at the core fan base of old school HRT Holden diehard fans, the vast majority of them are over the age of 60, and they're male. And so, how we actually index with our fan base now, our fan base as a team has changed dramatically from, the early 2000s, for example, when it was, probably one of the highest male followed teams in the categories. And that's just one of many different examples that came out of that work. But it was quite interesting.
Hey, we've obviously seen a couple of other manufacturers come and quite quickly go again in the game in V8 Supercars. And I know, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've done a lot of research and done a lot of talking to manufacturers over the years about the sport, about the class in Australia. Can you tell us how many other manufacturers you have actually approached and spoken to over the last 10 years, looking to make a break away from the norm? And did any come very close?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really over the last 10 years. It was mainly over the last sort of 3 or 4. Since Michael and Zach came on, we were committed that we were either going to become a factory team again with GM or we were going to move. Because, as you know, Greg, I don't think there's been a team that hasn't had factory support in the last 12 years and Supercars has won a championship. So it is important. It's a critical part if we want to go and achieve the ambitions that we have as a race team on track. I can't tell you who we spoke to from manufacturing.
Oh, he's gone. We just double checked that, Sanjay. Oh, he's just gone away.
Okay, I'm still here. Yeah, can you hear
me? Oh, sorry. We just lost you from him, buddy.
That's all right. But I can say that, you know, we did have conversations with at least 6 different manufacturers. Three of them were serious. 2 of them became serious. And then 1 of them we ended up choosing as the manufacturer we wanted to go with.
Then why did they pull the pin, the one that you wanted to go with? Oh, was it Ford? Was that the Ford one in the end?
Ford one was the one that we wanted to go with.
Oh, okay, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But we, you know, we had another offer on the table, but it didn't feel like the right one. We were very close to another deal a couple of years ago, which fell over at the last hurdle as well, but that was COVID related. To be honest, the interest from manufacturers in supercars is there. But in times where the product offering from manufacturers is going electric, from a marketing perspective, it becomes a more difficult sell. They understand the value. They love the sport. They understand that, you know, the value is a mechanism to speak to fans and to engage motorsport enthusiasts. It becomes more often than not a difficult discussion to have with their global headquarters. Normally regional, from our experience, has been positive and wanted to do these programs. When it goes to their global offices, it's aligned specifically with their global brand, plans for their product, which is again electric, and it becomes a much harder sell.
So this is a really intriguing discussion, because that thought process from the head office, does that give you concern for the future of supercars?
It doesn't, because I don't think supercars should be a manufacturer dependent category. And I don't really think it is. If you actually look at the supercars category, you've got 2 manufacturers in next year, which is Chevrolet and teams that are strong support. Most of the teams in supercars are private teams that get either none or very little genuine support from the manufacturer. And I think Gen 3 should also assist in the sport becoming less reliant on manufacturers. It should become easier for a manufacturer to come into the category, but there's still work to do, I think, as a category in order to be able to ensure that it becomes a much simpler platform for other teams to bring in brands that are supported or not supported by the manufacturer, or to actually get full factory back teams in the category as well.
Yeah, it's a tricky space, and I think what we've got in supercars is moving forward is going to be very exciting, but wait and see, I suppose, if anyone else gets involved. Hey, can we just quickly touch on the last couple of rounds? I mean, heading into Perth the other week, there was only 2 winners in supercars, and it was Shane van Gisbergen and Chaz Mostert. And then looking so strong at the Grand Prix, Chaz and Nick, very good speed. And then I was shocked. I'm sure you were more than shocked at what happened on the weekend at Barbagallo. I mean, what's been the debrief side of things after WA, and where are you guys heading? Because that was some hell of a shock to, I think, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely weren't expecting it. No one was, and no one in the team would ever even try and pretend that it was remotely acceptable, right? So we've got pretty lofty ambitions as a team, and we've been doing pretty well for the last sort of 12, 18 months, and improving. And as you say, Going into Perth, we're the only team other than Shane to have won races this year. Then that came out and started the battle a little bit. So it was a bit of a shock. We know what went wrong, and hopefully we fixed it. Something we understand that didn't go our way. And obviously the test day at Winton has helped us to validate that as well. It was a shock. We all wish it hadn't been like that. But hopefully there's some benefits actually that we found off the back of it. And I don't anticipate we'll see another double back row qualification again for the team unless something absolutely horrendous happens. We've got great drivers, we've got great engineering team, we've got good cars, we've got cars that can win races and get podiums, as we've proven strongly over the last 12 to 18 months in particular. And one bad weekend doesn't create a trend, right? You know, in the same way that just winning a bunch of races or a couple of races doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win a championship. So, we learned from it. We put it behind us. We're a strong team. We all support each other and we press on and eyes forward to the next event.
Yeah, no, I mean, one weekend like that certainly doesn't define anybody. And I know you're not going to tell me in detail in any way, shape, form what it was, but were you stuck with what you had? Was it something that had been done for the weekend parts wise, or something that forced you to have to just deal with it for the weekend, and now you have rectified that since you left there and you've been to the test, was it some confusion?
I'm not going to go into any detail on that, but I mean, you're not a million miles off.
Great answer. Ryan, how genuinely excited are you about Gen 3 now that you know you've got a brand, you can start building the car, you've got factory support? I mean, does it give you a lift now for the rest of the season, knowing what's ahead?
It does give us a lift for the rest of the season. It's more around wanting to ensure that we can on a high. Several decades, what we really want is to finish the season and finish our time with them the best way possible, ideally on the top step of Bathurst. And I think it'd be quite a special race, the final race of the season at the Adelaide 500 in Holden's mecca of Australia, the centre of Holden manufacturing for so long in this country, and the last time you'll ever hear a Holden car racing around a racetrack, it's literally going to be the final haul of the line. So I think our focus is very much on wanting to try and win those events and be remembered as the last team to have ever won with a Holden car, both in the season and also at Bathurst.
Nice goal, mate. Thanks, as always, for giving us your time. And it's been, I'm sure, but a fun, not so challenging because you knew what to expect, but go well in the next round.
No worries. Thanks, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate the time.
Ryan Walkinshaw speaking to Greg Murphy on Race Control. Our feature interview, thanks to Ricoh Filters. Ask a mechanic for Ricoh Filters, the professional's choice. This is the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.